And it wouldn't just be raw. It would be Charlie LaDuff live, raw, and real.
And in chaps.
And in chaps?
Whatever you want to wear, Charlie. No, I prefer the bathrobe. Remember that story, Bob?
Yes. I do. Anytime you get Charlie in a bathrobe or his underwear, you're in good shape.
That's easy for me.
Are we ready to do this thing?
Go ahead, man.
No bullshit news.
Charlie, it's very simple.
No bullshit news.
Like most of your stories, it's false.
No bullshit news.
You are fake news.
No bullshit news.
Stop with the media bullying.
Charlie,
stop the media bullying.
No bullshit news.
Hot dog. Yeah, no shame in my game.
No bullshit news.
That's a real murderer's row right there. That's just some... Bodies in the wake of no bullshit news. Wade McCree.
Got to get him out of there.
Freaky week in Detroit. Now, before we go into this, I got to tell everybody something they might not know. There's a little back and forth here in Detroit. The mayor's being surveilled. It's being tailed by a disgruntled developer. Lawsuits going back and forth. He's accusing the mayor of extramarital affairs, et cetera. So he's got some real damning tape. And he gave us a tease a couple weeks ago, right? The mayor making a booty call. He got a garage door opener going to a alleged girlfriend's house. The developer, Bob Carmack, says the mayor doesn't live at the mayoral residence. And I think I told Bob that. Because way back in the winter, I got a tip from some police that he doesn't live there. So I sat out there 5 days at the Manoogian Mansion in full view of the executive protection unit. So I'm not a stalker, drinking coffee, smoking cigarettes, big black Cadillac, 5:30 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. He neither came nor went. So as you do, you talk as a reporter, and it got to Bob. Now, I didn't know Bob was going to hire a private investigator and tail the man. And then, allegedly, the mayor says, he said this week, he's being extorted. So now we got Peyton's place. We got the mayor saying he's being extorted and his invasion of privacy and whatnot. And then Bob Carmack saying, no, it was he who was extorted. He was being shaken down.
But the mayor's putting the city ahead of his family.
Yeah, the mayor, you know.
Is that what that is?
That's what he said. I thought that was an interesting bit of logic.
Devil may care. I have to put the city's interests ahead of my own. But I don't know what I did.
But how did he do that? I mean, he said that.
By getting the state police involved.
Oh.
Well, wait. Hey, Bob.
But yet he never denied it.
Well, we got a little dollop of that, Bob, that press conference on last Monday of the mayor. Very extraordinary. The mayor calls a press conference to get ahead of this thing.
We do indeed.
Hit it, brother.
So 10 days ago, my wife, Lori, and I had to deal with painful issue in my personal life.
No,
the events of the last week are making it appear that Bob Carmack is now threatening further embarrassment in my personal life in order to force me to take actions that are harmful to the citizens of the city of Detroit. I have today asked the state police to open an independent investigation into the threats made. In the last week, the threats against me and my family to release even more embarrassing information has intensified. We have received multiple warnings from people telling us that Carmack is threatening to release further surveillance information and that he specifically promised it would cause my wife, Lori, great pain. On Tuesday, a Carmack associate passed on a specific threat that information extremely embarrassing to me would be released by Carmack this coming Wednesday. This is a terrible situation. I have to choose between protecting the interests of the city or protecting my family. I don't have specifics, just that it would be damaging. So I don't know. Is it a tape? Is it a report?
That sounds like an admission
of guilt
to me.
Nothing. I don't know.
Amen.
I have no idea.
He didn't say he didn't do
it. What it might be, but I felt like
I don't know what it may be.
I don't care what it is. We're not going to.
Yes, he does.
Of all the things that I have seen. That story, to me, is the most bizarre. I sold my old house in Livonia five years ago. I have no other property. Lori and I have lived in the mansion since January 1, 2014.
Cut that, Bob.
The dog is there.
I don't think that's a bizarre thing either.
What?
Said that's, of all the things, that's the most bizarre, that he would not be living in Detroit.
Yeah, no, that's not...
It's not bizarre.
You know what's more bizarre is he says, I've invited reporters to come over. Take a look at my sock drawer. Come look at my clothes and my pets. That's bizarre. To which I got a hold of his people. Mayor, I'm ready to take the tour.
But did that sound like an admission of guilt to you? He never said, I'm like Bob. He never said he didn't do it. He's talking about or almost validating what he believes Carmack to have. And how is calling for an investigation by the state police, putting the residents in front of his family? Like, I don't understand. I don't get that equation.
Well, I'm sitting here thinking, well, think back. You know, I didn't go to the press conference. I watched it. But think back, Mr. Mayor. What could it be? What could possibly be? You know what I mean? To catch you going into a peep booth? Did you go to a bar and drink too much? Were you stooping somebody in the back of the city car? What could it be? Do the Kavanaugh for me and go all the way back to June. What might we see that you're calling me here to tell me you're calling the police out?
So the media knows that there's somebody else involved, but they're not releasing who it is because at this point there is no direct connection to either any city funds or employment. Is that the reason why? I mean, it's not a minor, is it? I mean, so what's the reason, Charlie? You're
what?
You
mean, what media has that ever stopped before, by the way?
That's what I'm wondering.
Well, wait, first of all, the media didn't even do this story. The guy was driving around, Carmack, it should be said, who sold a $1 million piece of property that the city claims was there. So there's a lawsuit. And then the city came and demolished a piece of property. He says it was his, so there's a lawsuit. He's got a lawsuit in federal court claiming conspiracy on the mayor, so there's a lawsuit. There's a million lawsuits, but it's got to do with property and money, right? Who's the woman? Why is that the question to begin with? I mean, we'll get to that, but that,
well,
that's...
Well, I guess, and again...
The woman, but... The guy was driving around City Hall, Carmack. He's surveilling the mayor, and he's dobbling out in pieces. He's got a Jumbotron on a flatbed truck at rush hour going around City Hall. I've never seen that, right? So nobody airs that story on that Wednesday or that Wednesday. Nobody would touch it. Imagine if this was New York City, and Giuliani's caught at a love nest. And say, call him Jimmy Piccolini, the cement guy from Queens, is driving around the Gracie Mansion with this. What do you think the New York media is going to do?
I would think the Jacksonville media would be all over it.
My God, yeah.
I'm just saying, I'm
the Kalamazoo stunned. Media would be all
Holy
over it.
So why, Charlie? So why? Why not?
Well, that's why there's no bullshit news. Because, look, nobody wants to get in the way of the narrative. Nobody wants to make enemies with this guy. Right? Here it is. It's sort of the Kwame Kilpatrick moment of getting pushed off a porch, pushing cops off a porch. Here's some stuff, right? So it takes a day to get it. Somebody's got to go first, the Free Press, and then all of a sudden everybody does it. And then the mayor going to get ahead of it because Carmack's threatening the next week to release more.
Duggan used the term embarrassment and great pain, but he didn't say there's nothing that I would be embarrassed about. And Carmack, meanwhile, has backed off saying, I didn't say he was necessarily having an extramarital affair.
Carmack sounded in his press conference like a person who had been gotten to. Let me say that. In one, some capacity or another, somebody got to Carmack because his demeanor was completely different. He was all out. I've got this stuff. I'm letting it out. I mean, it was a complete 180. Like, what happened?
I think a stylist got to him, too.
Oh, yeah, he had a haircut.
He did. And a caterer.
And a suit.
And a caterer.
Really?
Yeah, so Bob's going to cut. That's the mayor on Monday. Bizarre. And then Carmack has a press conference he's announced for a couple weeks on Wednesday. And, Bob, we got that? We got a little bit of the Carmack on Wednesday after the mayor's, I've called the state police.
I appreciate everybody coming out today. This has been a traumatic situation for me. It's been 15 years of misery, what city government has done to me. All I tried to do was try to develop a piece of property in Southwest Detroit, and I did everything they asked me to do, and I ended up where I'm at today.
Well, you fast forward a little bit?
I ain't trying to extort nobody. I don't know about you, but what you've seen is a fact. They're on a tape. They show what I've been through, and this is real. There's an investigation going on that he says with the state police. I haven't been contacted by the state police, but I'd like the key. Everything that I have else has information, evidence, tapes, recordings. I'd like to keep that quiet right now till the state police contact me, because I don't want to incriminate myself any which way. I am afraid. I have three kids to take care of. I'm a single father. And someone said that they're going to send state police on me. I am afraid. What am I afraid of? The mayor of Detroit?
In terms of what?
Let me say this. I have recordings and video. More. But this is all I can tell you today. Yes, it will be embarrassing.
So I don't see him calling a press conference or scheduling a press conference if he wasn't prepared to release what he had teased everybody with the Jumbotron information.
Well, you know, talking to Bob, and he might call, he might not, because he's in court again today. So, you know, take it or leave it. He might hit. One, he got a new heavy-hitting attorney. The heavy-hitting attorney said, look, dude, you got to decide. Do you want to settle this or do you want to settle scores? So, okay, Bob sits back and he thinks about it. Number two, as you heard, as Bob said to me, the mayor scares me. And you should be scared, because that guy's got tentacles everywhere. I know the guy's sent me five legal papers as the press, suing for defamation, which is ridiculous.
It's public official.
And don't forget, the mayor's got heavy, heavy federal investigations going on. And then finally, I said to Carmack, I go, did the FBI maybe reach out to you and say, shut the fuck up, we don't need our star witness looking like an extortionist, and he's a star witness in the Gabe Leland City Council bribery case. Gabe Leland, head of the Planning and Economic
Committee
on the City Council, who took the fifth when it was asked in a deposition, did you take instructions from Mayor Duggan on any of these properties? You see what I mean? He takes the fifth on bribing other people. So, is he scared? Yeah. Does he promise to let it come out some other time? I mean, he does, but.
Does this remind anybody? Carmack, okay, first of all, he was not remotely scared. He had a PI. He had a Jumbotron. I mean, it was one of the craziest things I've ever seen in all my time in media as far as local. I thought it was just bizarre and kind of fun for me.
It was.
It was creative. You got to give it to him. That was creative.
I give him huge points.
He couldn't get the media to run the thing. He gave it to media outlets months prior. Nobody touch it.
I'm stunned by that. But does this, him backing off, does this sound a little bit, does it remind anybody of when the text messages, Kwame's text messages became available and all of a sudden they settled so quickly, they threw a couple million on top of the pile? I mean, does the tone at least seem similar?
It does to me. I'm sorry. Look, you got sexcapades, you got tapes or texts, right? You've got, at the time of Kwame, no reporter, nobody knew that the feds were deep into him, not on sex messages, not on Lincoln Navigators, not on Manoogian stripper parties, but on swinging contracts. It's equal and similar now.
Because that's what the feds are looking at in this administration.
Exactly.
Contracts. What he said in an interview, he meeting Mayor Duggan, what he said he was losing sleep over. That was his admission to me again.
And to the city.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying that was my interpretation when he said, I'm losing sleep over it. He said, I made a mistake. I'm losing sleep over it.
Which mistake are we referring to?
We're talking about the contracts, the steering of contracts. Okay. And he, it was actually a Fox News story. I can't remember who did this. Was it you, Charlie?
Could have been.
Yeah, I think it may. But anyway, he said, he admitted it. And, you know, he says, you're right. I'm losing sleep over it every night. And I'm thinking, Really?
Yeah. Really? Because he looks like a big puffy buttercup. Looks like somebody beat him up with a wet feather pillow. He looks like hell. It's really bad.
Well, it was interesting seeing him play the victim in his press conference, as in, my family and I had to spend Thanksgiving discussing this, and we decided the city has to be put before us.
Yes.
I thought that, and it doesn't really make any sense.
I like beer.
How's that?
Who doesn't like you? Like beer?
I like beer.
You ever black out?
I don't drink.
This is some Kavanaugh shit. Okay, so the woman. Why don't I say her name? Because I don't care.
Well, yeah, who cares who the woman is?
Well, a lot of people care, but, you know, look.
I really don't care either.
I don't think anybody cares about the woman. I think at some point there is going to be or should be a closer examination as to any relevancy to the city contracts, any that. Now, if it's just an extramarital affair and there is no overlap, that's nobody's business but his and his
wife. Okay, well, I'll give you two pieces. And okay. Go ahead, Drew.
I was just going to say, it still seems to me, and this is repetitious, that this person's identity and her picture are something in 2018 that we would see so fast anywhere else. I'm still blown away that we don't know who this, I mean, we generally, the public, is not seeing this person, doesn't know more about her, just because of the Jumbotron event.
Yep.
That in and of itself would make
everybody her knows her name, that, you know, pays attention to City Hall.
Sure.
But I would tell you what I'm working on, and I have it confirmed. Let me get it all lined up and paperwork. But, yes, hundreds of thousands of dollars of city health money are transferred through a go-between, a nonprofit, an alliance, and then funneled into a program that she's involved with at one of the local hospitals. So, perfectly legal, right? Like, it's city money handled by a second party, handed to a third party. But there is a money connection. Few hundred thousand dollars. Is that enough? Does that pique your interest?
Certainly does.
Drew?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Bob, that's shady.
For appearance, the appearance is interesting, if nothing else.
Well, that's, I don't know. It's kind of like Warren Evans, the CEO of Wayne County. He does this murky deal with Dan Gilbert for the new public courthouse and jail and stuff. His personal lawyer, who used to be Kwame Kilpatrick's deputy mayor, handles a purchase of a home for him and signs for his mortgage. And then a couple months later, his personal lawyer, the former deputy mayor, gets a no-bid contract to handle part of the new courthouse and jail deal. I'm like, what the fuck is this? Can't you just appear to look clean? This is all over the joint. So when everybody texts me and Facebooks me, you with your negativity, you know, you're always looking at what's bad. Look, man, it's the job. It's the job to keep track. We got so fucked up here. We went broke. We went through federal court. The mayor's in prison. We don't have any money.
Still.
I'm trying to look out for you and your family and give you information, whether you like it or not.
But what do people do, Charlie? Because, you know, I heard somebody say the other day, once you learn something or once you know something, you should do something with it. I mean, I feel like people, when they hear things, they immediately respond and then they move on. But there is a substantive reaction.
This is Karen Dumas speaking, by the way, who was basically the chief of staff for former Mayor Dave Bing, which she really knows.
That should be a response. When you learn something, Drew, I mean, mm-hmm. you should respond accordingly. Are people doing that, Charlie?
In terms of what?
I mean, in terms of the information that you bring forward, in terms of the information that's uncovered. I mean, they move from news story to news story, hashtag to hashtag. What does this mean when they find out that things are different than the way they were presented?
I don't know what it's going to mean. I mean,
hopefully it means that people won't vote.
But I'm saying, what should people do? And I'm saying that because I'm not so sure people know what they should do.
Just pay attention. Just get educated.
Don't vote for Duggan.
Well, I'm not going to say that, Bob. I mean, I'm not telling people who to vote for. I'm just going to give you information. Do with it what you want. If you don't want it, right. don't take it.
But that's the action they can take, is vote one way or the other.
How about respond accordingly?
Do you hear what this guy's saying about Detroit? This Bob Carmack, who doesn't have the greatest grammar skills in the world, right? He got a nice haircut and was wearing a dead man's suit, it appears to me.
He looks sharp.
He looks sharp. He's saying, it's pay to play. They're extorting me. They're extorting me. You got to pay the mayor's people 10, 15 grand a month to even get in there. Somebody's telling you, it's not me. He's got a Jumbotron, Drew. He's so desperate for you to know what he sees. He's got a Jumbotron.
Well, he's got our attention.
Yeah, so, you know, he kind of clowned himself, though. I mean, you're walking around with, like, your finger in your pocket like you got a gun.
Well, can I just say something about the second, well, the press conference? He delivers a Jumbotron with some pretty interesting information, and apparently no one wants to do anything with this. Right. I mean, that was a pretty spectacular maneuver on his part. For creativity, I think we all give him an A+. Then he has a press conference, and it doesn't quite deliver. He's like, oh, my God, Bob Carmack. Charlie Lang said, we were Carmacked. Well, couldn't he have the same complaint a couple weeks earlier that nobody really was terribly interested in what he provided, which was pretty spectacular?
Isn't it? Yeah. Yes. And I'm thinking that was a Wednesday afternoon. And finally, the free press drops at Thursday at noon, which makes it safe for everybody to go with it. Me, when I look back now, yeah, maybe I charged hard, but I'm going with that.
I watched the 4 and 5 o'clock news a day later, and it wasn't even, there was a couple newscasts that had nothing, and I think another one was a second or third story. And I thought, wow, what could be more important than, what could be more interesting than this?
Yes. Now, the next week, he files a lawsuit saying the mayor doesn't live in the mayoral mansion. He's not a resident of the city as required by law. That is of public concern. That's law. And remember, when Duggan was running for mayor, he got kicked off the ballot because he had residency issues. So do you like the city? Do you know how the children live and feel in the city? Do you like the people of the city? What's with the games, dude? That's a big importance.
I remember Steve Nieverling early on did a story about the number of appointees making $100,000 or more, all of whom lived outside of the city of Detroit. There's a lack of commitment and connectivity there.
They're
Charlie.
Allowed to, and that's
I understand that.
That's the law of the land.
I understand that, Charlie. But at the end of the day, if you have no idea as to what the landscape is like for something that you are responsible for, how good, how effective can your decisions, your opinions, your actions be for the people who are looking to you to make their life and their quality of life better?
I agree. Well, you know, like when I first started working for the New York Times, before I got here, they said, you're going to be covering Queens. And I'm like, well, I live in Queens. I should live in Queens. Makes a lot of sense. If you want to serve the people, represent the people, you should make it every effort to live amongst them. And especially if you're the mayor, did you even know the mayor's wife's name?
I don't think I did.
Right.
Until recently.
Is there anything she's doing, any foundational work?
She's the first lady of Detroit.
Yeah. I know Carlita's name. And remember this. The reason I sat out in front of the Manoogian, of all the previous reasons, I did it to Dave Bing. Remember, Karen?
Yes, I remember.
Where you live, Dave? I put him in a bunny suit. Do you live in Franklin? He's getting his nails done in West Bloomfield. This is the job. Where do you live? What were you doing in that city-owned car? And by the way, rumor is, might as well, you know, we got some compromising video in there of Mike and his girlfriend. Mike's well aware of it. Mike Duggan, right? If I was to do that in a company...
Why is Bob Carmack backing off then? What he said, didn't he specifically say something about, hey, I didn't say there was an extramarital affair.
But, yeah, but, you know, I don't, like I say, he speaks like a person who has been gotten to.
Scared as shit. And the federal judge is yelling at him for, like, look, I told you not to depose anybody in your conspiracy trial case against the mayor. And, you know, you're deposing witnesses in other cases. So this guy has... just lit everything on fire, but he doesn't have a hose. That's what he's dealing with. It makes him an interesting character. Now, but having said that, when the mayor accuses him of extortion. Let me give you something. Got a little email between the corporation counsel, the city's main lawyer, and Bob Carmack, which is, it's dated September 21st. It's from Lawrence Garcia, the corporation counsel. Mr. Carmack, thank you for speaking with me yesterday by telephone. As I explained, if you need to reach anyone in city government, you should initiate those communications through me. The same holds true for agencies like the Building Authority, the Land Bank. Given the ongoing litigation between you and these entities, you should route your inquiries and communications through me, and I appreciate your promise to do so. Here's the smoking gun. Additionally, you mentioned yesterday that you might be interested in discussing settlement on some or all of the cases between you, the city, and or some city-related agencies. I am always open to the possibility of resolving differences out of court.
What's the date of this?
September 21st. Feel free to let me know your compromise demand, or have your attorneys communicate it to me or to the attorneys defending the matters. We will negotiate in good faith. Yours, Lawrence T. Garcia, Corporation Counsel, City of Detroit, which completely violates the no-contact ethical rule. If you know somebody that has litigation against you or something related to you, if you know they have representation, you are required to contact the lawyers, not the guy, for obvious reasons. Now, Carmack writes back, Mr. Garcia, you contacted me without going through my attorney on my cell phone, which I have proof of on my cell phone, of an incoming call. The following day, you, however, did contact my attorneys the next day in an email. Let's see, what is it that he wanted? You stated that you wanted to work an agreement out and to come in and give a presentation on my side of what has transpired in the cases involved or send an offer. Today, however, you said that you do not remember asking me to come in and send my offer. I realize you just obtained this job. Congratulations. I have evidence that you do not have that I can provide to you regarding these cases. Bob Carmack, knowing he's being played, says, okay, I want this. I want $25 million. I want 5 pot licenses. I want 30 acres of property. I mean, he's just asking for ridiculous shit. So the news is, a pretty connected guy, citizen, I will wait till it's filed, are filing an official complaint with the Attorney Grievance Commission. Meaning, all right, Mike, now the city lawyers are involved in this shit. Now we're starting to, everything's starting to burn. This is so ham-handed and amateur. Now we got the city's top lawyer in legal trouble. The fuck?
Next chapter of Detroit political history.
Wow.
Oh, can I tell you about the press conference at Carmack's garage?
Oh, God.
It's the worst. Please tell me.
So Carmack gives him an hour of old testimony in front of the city council, because now Bob's like, well, fuck it. They're coming. I might as well lay out the case so the media knows what I'm talking about. Nobody understands what the fuck he's talking about.
Where's the bomb, though? Where,
and
what
and
the
it doesn't drop anything.
No, he doesn't, right? Except what he did drop was a terrific spread of Middle Eastern cuisine, baba ganoush, kebabs, tabbouleh, nice soft drinks. He's got cheesecake muffins to die for. I mean, you should, after everybody does for their cameras.
The media love that.
Yeah, oh, man, after the outrage, once the lights were out, man, they went.
A Danish will go a long way to soothe the outrage.
Dude, they were on that shit like cockroaches. Oh my God. You know, you got to file this. Well, man, after I eat the hummus. And then Carmack says to me afterwards, he goes, you see that, man? These motherfuckers? Somebody stole a meat platter. Somebody walked out in the fucking meat platter.
I guess they wanted to leave with something, Charlie. They're like, we came over here all this way. We want
something
for our time.
And we're getting nothing else.
Yeah, but I counted them. There was 2 dozen representatives of the media. 2 dozen.
We had that many.
No, nobody did a damn story on any of these developments, you know, any of these court cases, almost nothing about, you know, the demolition and those nothing.
No, it was a dud. That's all. No, it was a big dud.
What I'm saying was, well, this one's easy, right? Now Bob's going to hand me a story that I can run with and don't have to work for. That's why they were pissed off. Besides the fact it was going to go, you know, internationally. It was going to just go everywhere.
But shouldn't Carmack be mad at the media, too, for not getting enough out of his Jumbotron? I mean, who should be mad at who here, really?
Well, look, yeah.
I think by backing off, too, he created a new level of interest, as in, why is he, all of a sudden, he's not quite so brazen. This is the Jumbotron guy a short time ago, and all of a sudden, he's showing tapes of city council,
yeah,
and he's saying, man, he didn't say it was an extramarital affair. Well,
I didn't say anything. I got stuff. He said, I got stuff that'll end him. I got stuff, you know.
So who's extorting him?
I got stuff that'll end him, but I'm going to give it to you in a few days.
But as Carmack says, what? And I think rightly, how can I be extorting anybody when I'm showing the whole world on a Jumbotron? That's not how you extort somebody. Oh, and by the way, reading you this email, right? Like, where is it? Like, what'd the mayor say? Somebody told me, Garcia told me, he said, if you don't give me, it's an or else. The mayor said that at the press conference. Well, if you look at Garcia's own fingerprints, he's the one reaching out going, hey, man, why don't we settle?
So who's the guilty party?
Yeah. I called the state police, the, you know, higher up. They're laughing at this shit. They're absolutely laughing at this shit. They're not going to do anything.
Is there an investigation?
Yes, there's an investigation. They went and they talked to the mayor. The state police talked to the mayor. And I asked the state police, I go, well, if the mayor gave you inaccurate information, would you hit him on filing a false police report? Which, well, we refer that to the press, blah, blah. They don't want this. They're busy. They're busy, Mike.
I was just feeling, in a way, you know, in spite of all the other things, like I'm putting the city ahead of my family, which didn't make sense to me logically. But I'm also wondering, is there any danger in getting the state police involved? I mean,
Karen, is there any danger getting the state police involved? I think there is.
Well, maybe, but I thought that was a little one-off when he said that. So apparently, if in fact he feels as though, I mean, the state police can be called and involved in anything, but, you know, there's a process. What about the Detroit police? Why wouldn't it start there? I remember when calls were starting to come in early on about Charles Pugh.
Pedophile.
You know, well, I know, exactly, but it's, okay, you got to file a police report. You got to start with the process.
Rat fuck.
So, you know.
I hate pedophile.
Yeah, I do too, and he's in prison now. But I just thought that was a little one-off to me.
Remember what the media did to the accuser? Started going through the family records and their gold digging, and the media's pulling up to now we know it was a victim of, right, sex crimes, and you're parking your shit on the dude's lawn, the young man's lawn.
Mm-hmm.
You don't do that. Yeah. I'll never forgive that. I've made a lot of mistakes in life. I'll make many more, but at least I was trying to do the right thing.
But look at the difference in sensitivity there. None in that case. And all of a sudden, in this case, we haven't seen the person, the alleged, or the person who's the subject of rumors. There seems to be a lot of sensitivity here. What's the difference?
Like never before.
But wait a minute. Let me take a poll amongst you. And you too, Bob. I know you're working that board and you working the phone and stuff. Do you think, and this is just as a person, you think Carmack's got more? I'll give you my thinking. The mayor comes out shitting his pants. Look like a little kitten at the saucer, right? Shitting himself. Carmack's filing suits. We've seen previous videos of him. The media doesn't attack him as being a liar. They said he's withholding. I believe Carmack's got more.
I agree with you, Charlie. I do.
What about you, Drew?
I do.
When the mayor used the word embarrassment and great pain, I thought that made it pretty obvious that there's something there. But yeah, I don't think anybody talks the way Carmack does. I don't think he's P.T. Barnum. I think he's got something.
And
he's looking like P.T. Moore every day.
If
he is indeed.
if in fact there were no opportunity, possibility of Carmack having anything, I would think that the mayor's response, his narrative, would have been drastically different than what it was.
Completely.
It would have been...
If he didn't have anything
if
else.
If Carmack had nothing and the mayor knew that there wasn't a possibility of him having anything, his response in that press conference would have been completely different. His narrative, his response, his comments gave validation, in my opinion, to the fact that Carmack has something, that he could have something. Even if he didn't, Carmack could be playing him and pretending there's something going on. Because Duggan should have taken a different approach if there weren't.
Yes.
I agree with that because it seemed like, you know, my initial reaction was, well, if he had something, why wouldn't he drop it? But he's playing the mayor.
He could be doing that, too.
He's holding it out.
But if there were nothing,
and
Bob.
The way the mayor responded was.
He would have said, there's nothing. I've not done anything wrong.
And would have been
forceful
about it.
I live in the city of Detroit. I look forward to seeing whatever it is that he has because there's no way, there's nothing, there's no possibility that he could have it.
They didn't even say that.
But he knows there is a possibility that he's got, oh, dude, he's on
the internet. That's right. They didn't even say that after his dud press conference. They didn't come out and go, oh, what a fucking jerk off. See? Nothing. I kind of knew it. They didn't do that. They scratched their heads. They didn't do that. And again, I'll tell you what. When high-ranking police sources tell me his executive protection meets him on the west side of the city in the morning. When I sit out there for 5 days, 3 days, that whole 5 hours, twice I had to take a shit. So I threw those days away because, you know, the 10 minutes he could have come and went. I never saw him. And I wasn't doing it. I don't care who you sleep with.
The first sign, I guess, flag that should have been raised was immediately after him assuming the office of mayor.
Yeah.
He ditched his executive protection. He has an advance team, and he has executive protection at the house. But every mayor that I can remember traveled with executive protection. He does not. He never has. That would send, now, had he.
Maybe he's a tough guy of the people.
Okay. Some people would say that.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Unless he's hiding something.
Well, I mean, just if for no other reason, them following. You know, I mean, and it's not a matter of being afraid of the people. I mean, but it's a matter of if, in fact, you're moving around the city, you know, sometimes if you're at an event, you need to get in and you need to get out. You have staff around to make sure that resident concerns are, you know, documented and addressed at a later time. But it just seemed unusual to people, to those of us who have been inside, that he totally abandoned executive protection and chose to drive for himself, which is why I didn't believe the Belle Isle incident early on when he said he got pulled over.
What do you mean?
Explain.
Remember, he was driving around Belle Isle and said that the state trooper pulled him over and didn't know who he was? I don't believe that.
What do you mean?
Well, and
I'm saying it makes it convenient to say, see, I'm just like everybody else. Like, they pulled you over. That's when black people were complaining, you know, saying, hey, we can't go out here. He says, I got pulled over. But who's to say that you really did?
Right.
I mean, do you know what I'm saying? It makes
it easy. He was wandering around Belle Isle.
But it makes it easy to create and control your own narrative if nobody else is there to validate or invalidate what you're saying. That's my point.
Yeah, well, you know, in the end here, hey, Mike, okay, so hold on, man. We're gonna do some commercials here, but just Bob's going to call you on the phone, okay, bro? Okay, cool, bye. In the end here, forgot what I was going to say.
We're talking about the Belle Isle.
In the end here, with a town having trouble staffing its police department and getting response, the mayor can call the state police on some bullshit like this. Let it fall where it may, Mayor, but because now we got a whole different problem. So let's let that, we're going to go into the police, but I want to just, we got to, you going to go? Thank you, bro.
Yeah, good to see you, guy.
Good to see you, brother.
Hey, Mike.
Karen.
Yeah, Drew, thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Good show, man.
Want to welcome in a new sponsor, Eddie Zaney of Zaney Law. Zaney Law, offices in Lansing, Detroit, Grand Rapids, specializing in criminal defense, civil rights litigation, and personal injury.
How'd my staff miss Zany Law?
This guy's good, dude. This guy represents
again the sales department.
People in the Flint water crisis. This guy represent. Remember the dude stabbing everybody in Flint?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, him. He's a big deal, big firm on the rise. You dial 517-929-7000. That's the main line. 517. All right, 517-292-7000 is the main line. When things get zany, hey, Bob, can you turn off the bells for a second? I'm trying to do Zany's
He's
commercial.
Giving you ambiance.
That's for the next commercial. Oh. Bob's still learning the board.
You're early, Bob.
I'm going to start over. Zany Law, offices in Lansing, Detroit, Grand Rapids, specializing in criminal defense, civil rights litigation, and personal injury. 517-292-7000. When things get zany, you call Ed Zany.
Pretty catchy.
He wrote that himself.
Really?
Yeah. Now, that's the lawyer. If you're talking about finances, right, you want to go with Luke. Here it is. Some of us are secure with our finances right now, but might not be as prepared as we need to be when planning for our future financial obligations, whether it be pension planning, life insurance, college savings plans, or tax-deferred investments. Luke Nowacki can help answer all of your questions and help plan your future finances. Call Luke at 248-663-4748 to set up a plan today. Go to our website. It's listed there for both of these guys. And then the legal note here, securities and investment advisory services offered through Royal Alliance Associates, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Royal Alliance Associates, Inc. is a separately owned and other entities and or marketing names, products, or services referenced here are independent of Royal Alliance Associates, Inc. Now to bells, Bob.
Cue bells.
Jingle bells, Coney smells, onions all the way.
Yummy.
Don't forget a side of fries and beer is served all day. American Coney Island is the best there is around. Come on in and have a dog the next time you're downtown. Hey! American Coney Island, the home of the world's best chili dog, located in downtown Detroit. Look for the red, white, and blue building at Lafayette and Michigan Avenue. Or ship a little taste of home to your loved ones. Family, friends, Coney kits are a great holiday gift. Just go to AmericanConeyIsland.com to place your order.
Did Grace write that?
I wrote it.
You wrote that? It's
pretty
cool, Charlie.
Here we go.
But let me tell you about those kits.
Yeah.
Those are great, great gifts. A very good friend of mine retired from the fire department, moved to Texas, I think a year ago. He said, you know, one thing I really miss about Detroit, in addition to the people, are the Coneys at American Coney Island. So
they really do make people happy.
They really
did
do.
Did you send them some?
Oh, yeah, Grace and I, yeah, she said, I got you. So she sent him a, yeah. So she really did. They work, and people love them.
There's a dozen dogs in there, and then there's a sort of a, like a quart of the proprietary homemade chili, a Vidalia onion, buns, a couple of Coney hats. They pack it on dry ice, and it's there overnight.
He loved it. I think I may surprise him and send him another one this year.
Right on. AmericanConeyIsland.com. Now, the other story that No Bullshit News Hour. Right? Oh, yeah. Go there to listen, if you want to get this thing, go to the Google Play, iTunes, download it. No BS News Hour. Right? Just put in LaDuff, do a search term, click it, subscribe. Okay? Also, these stories appear in DeadlineDetroit.com. Go to DeadlineDetroit.com. Here's one that I did for them this week.
And follow on Twitter as well, because that way you get when that Don Detroit post, when you post, when I post, you follow on Twitter.
Yep.
That's always a good thing.
Well, and the cool thing about Deadline Detroit is you can subscribe to their newsletter
and
you get notifications. Yep.
Yeah, so you can follow me on Twitter or Facebook and get it there every week. Okay, the next story that I did this week is basically last Friday night. Friday morning, Thursday night, on the west side, a frantic caller calls in about 1:30. Fire truck shows up, ambulance shows up, somebody's taking he's sitting in a van, his brains are on his lap, there's a hole in his forehead, woman's next to him screaming, there's people lurking around, and there's repeated phone calls. Where's the police? Bob, we got that? I just want to play you this clip. This is coming from the street, from the fire department. They're told to stage and stay away from where they think the call came from, but they pull right up on it. When you stage, that means you're an ambulance or a fireman, a firefighter. You're waiting for the cops. Okay, Bob, play this damn thing.
Engine 34, code 1 medical call, West Warren and Junction. West Warren and Junction. Report of one bleeding, unknown what happened by a central office. When you are staged for police, Engine 34, you're responding with Medic 10.
Engine 34 en route, Engine 34 has a message.
Engine 34 has a message en route.
Engine 34 staging at Epworth and West Warren.
Engine 34 staging at Epworth and West Warren.
This is all truncated.
Engine 34 to Central, do you have an ETA on a scout as well as an EMS?
EMS.
So this is a fire department.
Yeah, it's the engine show.
We're going to need DPD on the scene immediately. This individual has been shot.
Engine 34, you're reporting a shooting at Epworth and West Warren. We have a message to get you scouts ETA.
Engine 34 to Central, we also have a civilian female in distress at the scene also.
Civilian female in distress also at the location. Stand by for an ETA.
Engine 34 to Central, you still have suspicious civilians on scene stalking the area.
Use extreme caution, Engine 34. We're online attempting to get you an ETA for police. They also have a stabbing reported at Junction, possibly all in relation. You're reporting one shot at Epworth.
Where's the police?
And a female in distress.
That's affirmative.
Okay, we have it. We're getting you an ETA.
Engine 34 to Central. We do have a person of interest standing by.
We have that message. We're passing that along. We're still on the line with police, sir.
34 has medic 10 on scene.
Engine 34, you have medic 10 on scene. Scout is en route, Engine 34. They were unable to provide an ETA after multiple attempts.
Engine 34 has DPD on scene. That's good,
Bob. Engine 34 has DPD.
You see that? Hold on. Hey, Mike, you on the line? Mike, you on the
yes.
line? Yeah, man.
Yes.
Mike Nevin, President of Detroit Firefighters Association. And Mike, where's the fucking police?
Would you repeat the question, please?
Where's the police, man? Does this concern you? You guys don't carry weapons,
course,
do you?
It concerns me, and this is happening every day. We're having medics assaulted. We're calling for police. This is not the rank and file officer in the streets issue. This is not the men and women that serve in the streets. This is a management administrative problem. We have not restored our numbers pre-bankruptcy. We cannot cover the 139 square miles properly in this town the way we should safely. This is ridiculous. In 2017, Eric Jones made a comment that it's a matter of time before one of his firefighters or medics gets shot or killed or stabbed. That's why they ordered bulletproof vests. I mean, this is happening every day, every night. It's ridiculous. We're undermanned, understaffed, and I need counsel. I need state legislators. We need a real good, hard look at public safety in Detroit. They are falsifying and manipulating data to create this narrative that nothing is wrong. I'm standing up as the president of the firefighters and EMS. We're not going to take it anymore, and we're going to tell the truth. I got 32 years in the streets here in Detroit. I know right from wrong, and this is bullshit.
Yeah, well, look, again, you really can't blame the beat cop because in the 10th precinct,
it's not the beat cop.
In the 10th precinct, in the 10th, Mike, let me give the audience some perspective. In the 10th precinct, which is 11 square miles, it's one of the deadliest, most violent in the city, where the homicide rate is over 60 per 100,000, which is about triple Chicago. It's about 50% higher than Detroit is an average. It's a pretty rugged, sometimes desolate place. They have
three.
They have three. Is that, did you lose them?
Oh, we lost them. I'm calling them back right now.
Okay. They have three cruisers. Three squad cars. Three.
That's a lot of area to cover with three.
When I got here, it used to be six or eight. So if this is what people that wear a badge when they're in distress, if this is what they get, what does the regular person get? And again, I'm sorry about the people that get a hold of me and say, why are you so negative and pooping on it? I'm not negative, and I'm not pooping on the comeback. I care about you, the citizen.
But, Charlie, you just said something. Pooping on the comeback. We need to stop talking about a comeback because the very fabric of this city has not been addressed. When we talk about our
services,
first responders, when we talk about city services, when we talk about education, when we talk about our law enforcement not being prepared, not being paid, and not being protected, then that's an issue because that's one of two or three underlying things that would support a comeback.
Yes. And here's the second part of it. It's all right, Bob. It's all right, Bobby. Here's the second part of it. The crazy part. I got all the run sheets. Okay, so this thing comes in about 1:30. And the police want to make excuses. We didn't get the dispatch this and priority two and whatever. Whatever. You should be there in minutes when you know, okay? Homicide doesn't show up till 4:30. The first one, first detective. Second detective shows up at 6:30. Remember, this call goes in at 1:30. Everybody knows it's a homicide at 1:50. You're talking 3 hours plus, okay? Want to know why? Because the homicide squad now works banker's hours. 8 o'clock a.m. to 4 o'clock p.m., and then people on call. They're driving from home.
Which may not be close to where the crime is taking
place.
Well,
you buy those numbers.
Throw that in there.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the point. You want to get there mm-hmm. quickly. Remember what the captain of that rig was saying? Persons of interest, potential witnesses, right? And it's taking you, they're long gone by the time you get there. You want to know how long it takes to get a bus to Kalamazoo from Detroit? 3 hours, 7 minutes. This dude could be in fucking Grand Rapids by now. And nobody's been arrested. Which means someone willing to take somebody's life is wandering around out there. And we're moving stuff. And you tell, yeah, it's good, Bob. You're moving shit around telling me it's creates better order and more efficiencies. What's efficient?
Well, it depends on what the goal is, Charlie. Maybe that goal is different. Maybe the goal isn't to provide the level of public safety that residents deserve. I mean, you've got to.
Deserve is a good word.
Entitled to. I mean, Charlie, people move to communities or cities, and in some instances, people stayed here, and in some instances, people are stuck. But the reality is that they deserve to have the very basics. I remember once there was a conversation about what are those basics that a municipality ought to provide. Certainly, law enforcement, public safety is one.
Timely. And now, look, I'm having an argument with some brass at the police about this, about whether all this shit works. And I say, man, I saw you at a volleyball tournament for, you know, middle school girls, you know, my girl, your girl in the burbs. There's no fucking way we will put up with this, you know, where in St. Clair Shores or Ferndale or anywhere. I won't raise my daughter in it. I'm not afraid of anybody. I won't raise my daughter. So this is a consequence. I don't know if some shithead out there fucking around in his van caught a bullet. Nevertheless, what happens if something goes down? I want safety. I want my police. I want them. I like them. I need them.
I agree with you, Charlie.
I don't need my firefighters shitting themselves.
I agree. I totally agree. I don't know. But, you know, I do want to throw this back out there again. I mean, when we talk about in the earlier story, in your earlier segment, we were talking about, you know, the mayor possibly not living in the city. People have a vested interest where they live. Once upon a time when, you know, you had a police officer, a firefighter, a teacher lived around the corner in the neighborhood, that access, that accountability, that commitment, that connection, those things were there. They're not there anymore. So at 4 o'clock, when the shift ends and you drive back to wherever you live, that's where your interests lie. You can collect a check one place. And let me say this. You keep talking about the comeback. If this city were coming back as wonderfully as we're being told in some instances, you would want to live here.
Okay, but you keep doing that, and that's cool. That's settled. Wherever you live, I need you equipped. I need enough of you. I need you to be respected.
Paid?
I need you to, paid. And if you're going to run into the shadow with that person of interest and you get killed, I don't need your wife.
Or your children.
Without insurance.
That's true.
Now, yeah, a lot of great things going on downtown, but the public money put into that comes directly out of those guys and gals' pockets, their benefits, and things that would serve the community. Now, the chief of police tells the head of the fire union last night, stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. This is the lane. Because, sir, let's face it, the fake crime numbers, the 200 cops that have given false statements, the beating of heads in and no consequence, a commander off duty beats up a parade goer and puts him into a coma, cops on cops pointing guns at each other, right? The towing scandal. The deputy chief of police taking bribes. The chief himself is caught up in that because he's the chief. No, you have to know what's going on and keep a skeptical eye on it.
I agree, Charlie. And you know, I am a big proponent, supporter of DPD. I like the chief personally. I look at the higher in terms of controlling the narrative, which is something we talk about all the time. And I think that just as that control permeates, you know, the media, business people, it's also impacting other departments, including the Detroit Police Department.
Right.
That would be my guess.
Which isn't to say it's not solvable.
The point is,
these are issues. Solve them. Solve them.
But you got to go back to, like you said earlier, why wouldn't the leadership want this problem solved? Why? Do it like everything else and paint over it and call it pretty and say it's fixed?
Mm-hmm.
Police officers also don't pay into Social Security. Think about that when you talk about retirement. And I just found out another friend of mine is leaving to go to another state that's in DPD. I mean, they don't feel protected. They don't feel valued. They don't feel respected.
And we got so many young
guys. They don't feel like they have a future.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and then, you know, I mean, the 5-year-old girl that was killed and murdered in bed in September, and the police execute a warrant and shoot dead a man who's not the suspect after throwing a grenade through the window. You know, a stun grenade. Apparently wasn't stunned, and they had to shoot him. Well, we've got no update on that. Crime Stoppers just put out a call for information. Here's a reward on leading to the arrest of the killer of the 5-year-old. Like, what? So we have no idea who killed her? And there's a guy dead that didn't kill her. And we're just going to let it go. Never. No bullshit news. Never. We'll now move along. We're getting towards the end of the show. We got Joe? Yeah, now here we go. Joe.
Yes.
Joe. So every week, man, you call me up. What should I do? What should I do? I give you stuff to do. And then, here's another police story. It was last Friday, wasn't it, or Thursday?
Friday.
It was Friday.
Friday afternoon.
So the afternoon after the shooting where the firemen were cowering, this happens later in the afternoon, which is what happened? What happened, Joe?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, I'm talking to you.
Okay, the shooting on the freeway happened at 4:30 in the afternoon, and the story you're talking about with the fireman.
No.
Was at 1 o'clock.
Joe, don't play Walter Cronkite with me. What happened outside your place of work?
Oh, we heard a bunch of sirens out there. We were ready to leave. And speaking of being at work. Oh, okay. I got to move my car.
Hey, Joe.
So basically what happened was there was a bunch of emergency vehicles up there on the freeway adjacent to our building. And so we went up on the third floor to look, and we didn't see no accident. First, we were thinking the freeway must be an accident. But it wasn't an accident.
What was it, Joe?
It was a medical transport van that they were transporting a prisoner back from a hospital, and the prisoner, I don't know if he got loose.
What happened? Real quick, one sentence.
The deputy ended up shooting and killing him right there on the freeway.
So they were transporting a prisoner, and they shot him dead, and he's laying in the freeway, and there's 28 right. squad cars there, right?
Yes.
And what do you do, Joe? They're right in front of your work. Now, there's a story. There's a big story you could do. What did you do? I'll tell you what you did.
I took video of it. I took pictures of it.
You took pictures of it. We work in radio, Joe. Wait a minute. Watch this. Hey, everybody.
The radio has audio.
Hey, Joe. Yeah, it's audio of you in a building, Joe. Listen, I want everybody out there to just take a look at this picture. Y'all see it? Y'all see Joe's video?
It's beautiful.
Wow. It's great.
Great work, Joe.
Wait. Okay. Here's what you did, Joe. Okay.
Well, see, at this point in time, I thought it was just a traffic accident.
Okay. No.
And,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah.
You deal with politics and corruption and stuff.
Uh-huh. You do?
Not traffic accidents.
Is that what you do? It wasn't a traffic accident. You don't deal with politics and corruption. You don't do that.
You do it there.
Yeah, but Joe, there's 28. There's a dead guy and 28 squad cars out front. So, does Joe get out there, conduct some interviews? No. Joe waves all the media in, right? His competitors. Joe's no bullshit news.
They're not really competitors because they're television.
They're competitors, Joe. Yeah, okay.
You just pointed out that we're on the radio.
Okay, so Joe's out there waving them up. Why don't you guys come up? I got a great shot for you. Joe's doing no work for us. No work for this audience. Hey, Bob. So, Joe, I saw you on a couple of other news stations. We got those clips?
We do.
Listen to Joe, expert witness here. Go ahead.
Getting ready to get off of work, and just heard some sirens out on the freeway, which we normally hear a lot of sirens on the freeway. But we heard a lot of sirens, and they weren't stopping. There was more and more sirens. Like, what is going on? I looked up there and just seeing a lot of...
A fucking hat. Why is he wearing that fucking hat?
Leave the other one.
Fucking Joe Warren, why are you wearing that hat?
That was one station. That's one station. And then another station. You don't got it? What happened to it? Joe, you showed up on two stations. The point is, you're supposed to do some work, not be handing out coffee in Danish.
I wasn't handing out coffee.
You were bullshit. You turned into bullshit news. You're like, well, you know, I mean, I was getting off work and then I saw some sirens. What is that? Joe.
Well, I didn't get the video on Mike Duggan cheating on his wife.
Nope.
I didn't get that.
Nope. You didn't even find out what was the circumstances of the dead man on the freeway right outside your window.
Well, I did find out.
When did you find out?
After you gave the interview.
Within the hour, I found out.
No, you didn't. You're lying.
I found out by asking the reporters because they got a direct line to the county and they can ask.
You're a reporter.
If I call there and try to ask questions, they might not even answer the phone to me.
Didn't you give him press credentials?
Yes. This nonsense.
And I got you two ties, Bob. You're legitimate.
Joe.
Joe, not Bob.
Yeah, but
Bob.
We might as well get a guy named Bob.
Apparently, I need a tie because she's looking right at me. I got you two ties, Bob.
That's because I'm thinking, Joe, I'm sorry. Joe, you got press credentials and two new ties. You're legitimate.
So Joe's like, just trying to help out Ali. And I'm like, well, we're on first name basis now. How did they all find the third floor of your building?
They were
outside the yard looking up at the wall, at the bridge,
mm-hmm.
trying to figure out how they could get a shot from it.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt sorry for the one guy from the one TV station.
Mm-hmm.
I said, come on up here, man. You can get a shot from the window.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea that all the rest of them would come flocking in right behind him.
Well, how'd they get in? They just bum rushed? Or you invited them all up at once? Was there like a line?
No. I don't know how much is important to really get into details.
It's details.
Very important. Nice, extend a professional courtesy. Their television, they need an angle to get a shot.
That's great. And we got nothing.
And so pictures doesn't do us any good.
Yeah, dude, that's why you got get out there. Be Johnny on the spot. Get some information. You're texting me pictures of you on TV. Like, look at me. I'm bullshit news, too. So no bullshit. You're like, oh, yeah, well, I was getting off, and, you know, I saw a lot. That's an awful lot of sirens. Joe, what ended up happening? Yeah. You did go to the press conference Monday. What was the circumstance?
Went to the press conference, and they told us not very much more than what they told us initially.
Oh, they told us initially?
His name was Martez Webb.
Mm-hmm.
Him and his brother had robbed somebody or tried to rob somebody a week prior to that, and the victim disarmed one of them and shot and killed Martez's brother and shot Martez.
Joe?
And Martez was in the hospital.
Joe, okay, so
they told us that.
They were transporting Martez back to jail, right?
Right.
Okay.
And it sounds they don't want to tell us the particulars of whether or if he was restrained or how or nothing, but it sounds to me like he wasn't restrained because they described a life-or-death struggle in the front of the vehicle. Was if the dude's in a wheelchair in the back of the vehicle, how did he get up there?
Well, see,
unless he was not restrained.
See, now, did you demand that answer at the press conference?
Did you get it on
I
tape?
I did. If you would have listened to the press conference audio that I sent you, you would have heard me asking those questions.
I did, but you didn't really ask them. You just kind of you were kind of soft about it. You say, like, look, why are we at a press conference? Because the answer was the investigation's ongoing, to which you say, then why are we here? The whole question is, what's the circumstances of it? Was he properly restrained or not?
They said they didn't want to go into whether or not they were he was restrained or properly restrained. That's part of the ongoing investigation.
Then why are you there?
Sounds like a car.
So that they could give us a few details that they are willing to give.
You mean the
one? How they are, man. They trickle this stuff out to you a little at a time.
So you forget about it. Joe.
No, I didn't forget about it. I tried to.
So the people forget it. First, so the people forget about it. Keep us abreast of the investigation, would you, Joe? And look, congratulations on your TV appearances.
And record some audio next time.
Yeah, get out there and ask a question, maybe, you know, instead of like giving tours.
Well, I couldn't climb up on the bridge and try to ask the cops.
You could have walked up. You were like, you know,
you could have narrated the scene.
You know,
tell us what you're seeing.
Reporters do. They try to walk up to wherever the tape is. What's going on here? Just if you're going to do
right.
it, you know, because you didn't even tell anybody. You know, like when they put your name underneath it, you didn't say no bullshit news hour. Kind of sold.
Right.
Kind of sold us out.
No, I didn't. Oh my God! Here we go, Dad.
That's right. That's right. And Joe with the hat.
Well, just get some audio. You can file your own report. You don't need to worry about what they do on 7 or 4 or whatever. File your own report.
All right. Be nice to
Joe. All right.
That did occur to me.
But what also occurred to me is that Charlie is primarily interested in politics and corruption.
Hey, Joe.
So this is neither politics nor corruption.
Joe, why don't you let me deal with what I'm interested in? Why don't you do stories that are right in front of your face? That's what I don't get.
I was afraid that if I did, you would have yelled at me. What are you bringing? This is bullshit. This ain't what we do.
Well, we're going to yell at you either way, Joe. Just roll on everything.
Here you are. Here you are. Hold on, Joe. Let me see here.
County Sheriff's Office telling us one of their deputies was transporting an inmate in an ambulance when that inmate tried taking his gun.
7 Action News reporter Allie Hoxie has been on this story for us. Allie, do we know how that inmate was able to try grabbing the gun? Heather, at this time, it's still unclear how that inmate was in a position to even try and grab that gun. An investigation into that is now underway.
Well, we heard a lot of sirens, and they weren't stopping.
Joe DeMarco is an electrician for Sterling Truck Sales, which overlooks the I-94 exit onto 75. He was just about to take off for the day when the shooting happened. It was around 4:30 this afternoon when an inmate in this ambulance tried to take a deputy's gun.
Getting ready to get off of work, and just heard some sirens out on the freeway, which you normally hear a lot of sirens on the freeway.
The 23-year-old male inmate died at the scene. It's still unclear why the inmate was in custody and where he was being taken.
Hold on.
The deputy was not shot, but did sustain non-life-threatening injuries. 7 Action News spoke with the general manager and president of Macomb Ambulance Services, the company used to transport the inmate. We are told his thoughts and prayers are with the driver of the ambulance, the deputy, and all the families who are involved.
There was one ambulance, one EMS supervisor, and 27 police cars. And so we kind of knew just from that that this was special.
All right. And yet, no police in the neighborhood. All right, Joe, you know what? You know what? Yeah,
I was going to mention that. You brought that up in your other story that there's no cops around, but the 27 of them showed up with a quickness right here.
Yeah, and they were there a long time. Now, here's the thing. You know I'm upset with what you're posting online, right? Are you going to stop that?
Yes.
I'm giving you a second chance because...
I've taken all that stuff down.
Because I'm no censor, but I do not... No fake news, no conspiracy shit, no hate, none of that crap. You can do it, but I don't want to be associated with it, but I'm a different kind of person, right? You grow. You grow. You work hard. You see something in front of you. You go get it, son. You hear me?
Yes, sir.
Because you're Joe DeMarco.
Yeah.
You're the chief deputy intern of the No Bullshit News Hour.
Joe can do it.
All right, brother. Okay.
I appreciate you, Joe. Don't worry.
I'm glad to hear you back, Karen.
Thank you. You too.
And now get out of here,
happy
kid.
Happy holidays if I don't get to see you anymore since before then.
Thank you. Same to you, Joe.
She got your ties here, Joe.
Oh, you never got them? I thought he got them.
Okay, let me just say this. The No Bullshit News Hour, find us at www.nobsnewshour.com. We are Charlie LaDuff, Karen Dumas, Bob Schettelbauer, sometimes Joe DeMarco, Matt, our sound editor, Drew Lane, just the
and Jason, is he still
genius
around?
Of radio. Thanks
Jason
for joining
is
us.
Still around, yeah.
Jason C. is our technical man
editor,
and everything
yeah.
else. You find us on iTunes and all that other stuff. Blah, blah, blah. Have an excellent week. And remember, try to love one another.
To you cowards, then it's gonna be quick. All right, all your men have been to jail before. Suck my dick and all the motherfuckers you run with. Get done with, jump quick. You gon' poke the dog with some bum. All right, they go to one.
What?
All over some dumb. Ooh. Ain't that some? Remind me of a strip club. Every time we come around, it's like, well, I just gotta get my knocks up. And I don't know who you think you're talking to, but I'm not him. I explain, so watch what you do, or you gon' find yourself next to someone else. And we all thought you loved yourself, but that couldn't have been the issue. Or maybe they just saying that now because they miss you. Maybe they tried to diss you. That's why you laying on your back, looking at the roof of the church. Preacher telling the truth and it hurts.
Y'all gon' make me lose my mind. Up in here, up in here. Y'all gon' make me go all out. Up in here, up in here. Y'all gon' make me act a fool. Up in here, up in here. Y'all gon' make me lose my cool. Up in here, up in here.
Off the chain, I leave off of the brain. Still want the fame, off the name. First of all, you ain't fat long enough to be for me. You ain't strong enough. So whatever it is you puffing on, that got you thinking that you Superman. I got the kryptonite. I smack you with my dick and the mic. Characters, not even good actors. What's gonna be the outcome? It's out of all the factors. You whack and twisted. Your girls are
whoa.
You broke. The kid ain't yours, and everybody knows. Your own man say you stupid. You be like, so I love my baby mother. I never let her go. I'm tired of weak. Winding over that don't belong to them. What's wrong with them? Get
up for real, like my mans in them, who get it all with the strip of their hands with them. Man, y'all gon' make me lose my mind. Up in here, up in here. Y'all gon' make me go all out. Up in here, up in here. Y'all gon' make me act a fool. Up in here, up in here. Y'all gon' make me lose my cool.
I'm in trouble, dog. You can only call you when I need you. No, I'm here. Mess, man. You know I'm kind of dog. You right on that way, homie.
Up in here, up in here. I bring down rings, the heaviest hurts the head. No more talk, put the dirt instead. You keep walking, unless you're trying to end up red. Cause if I end up fed, I end up. You the soft type,
what?
Fake up north type. It's like a soft wipe. Dog is the dog, blood thicker than water. We done been through the mud and we pricker the bigger the order, the more we run out. When up in there, everybody come out. When nobody burn out, send in the sun out. I'ma keep it loud. Running his mouth, I'ma blow out. Listen,
what?
He's about to be missing. You know who gon' find you? Some old man fishing. Grandma wishing your it's hard to digest with the sound of. Y'all gon' make me lose my mind. Up in here, up in here. Y'all
seems as though there's a couple of suburbans pulling up and females are running everywhere.
Y'all gon' make me act a fool.